accession number 28753, reel 3.
Mr. Marshall, reel 3. Just wanted to talk a little bit about the kind of training that you were doing when you first joined the Territorials.
First of all, I signed up at Dykelands Road. It's Seaburn, you know. That's a drill. I went. That was a new. I worked over there. You see, that place got built just before the war. Brand new drill hall. And lo and behold, and then when you could tell that war was coming, because it was getting worse and worse, the build up to it. And then the militia come, you had to sign up, 20, I think it was 20, you had to sign on, something like that, for the militia, and go away to camp for 6 months, do 6 months training. And you got a coat and trilby, what do you call it? And then, well, I didn't know. I waited. I joined the Territorials the 47th day LI at Dykelands Road. It used to be an infantry unit, but they changed it into the artillery unit in the meantime. And then, we would go there twice a week for drills. We used to get, I think, 2 shillings a night, something like that, for drilling. Well, when you went away on camp, you got all that money. And when you went and fought each camp, you got that money as well. The full pay of the army, it was two bob a week or something like that. It was a lot of money.
When you say you went to the drill hall, I think you said it was Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, that's it.
What sort of things were you doing?
Ordinary training, talks, you know, with the regular territorial officers before the other war. We usually talks and manoeuvres, and tactics, and drill, eh? Always inside, all inside drill.
Did you do weapons training?
Everything, machine guns, old-fashioned machine guns, and then a rifle. You got shown how to do the rifles and everything, cleaning it, and then you show what you've done. All that was all done in winter. For to get your drill money, and then on the 19th, we first camp was weekend camps where we used to go. We used to go to weekend camps. It was like we were being searchlights. We used to go maybe just on outskirts of the town, searchlights, and then I was a number 9 driver. Well, that was my job, driving the with the generator on. And I used to. When we went to camp, we had a 300 yards long. I was away out the road, because the first one was a valiant. The wagon, and you started it up and lifted the seat up, now the prongs on, and then there was a Thornycroft come out, open front. I had a photograph, with a man on, and then and that was near windscreens, and then. That was where I used to start it up. My job was when I was on duty, I used to run winter weather. I used to run the engine every 2 hours, just to keep it warm. And then we got them generators, diesel generators, like a caravan, and then I used to lie inside of them, eh? because it was a ten, but it was warmer and when it was warm, and then and I used to just press this just or steer an handle. If you let it get cold, yeah, it takes 3 years. Put the rope round the handle. Just started when so therefore you hadn't yet been on its spot or what started.
So you had to keep it warm.
I keep it warm during the night. And that was it. And they were the lads were 300 yards up in the field. And I was at this bottom end, and I was all cable, lying on a field.
But what sort of training did you do with the searchlights? Can you remember?
It was interesting. It was aircraft recognition. I passed it out, aircraft recognition. In fact, that's where to tell you the truth, I was a fool of myself because I was good at it. Aircraft recognition. All the Blenheim's German, I still got some of the books upstairs. Aircraft recognition. And I was pretty warm, yet again, teaching them. I got in with the corporal. He says, well, I'll get promoted to sergeant and you will be corporal. But I said, oh no, I was Adam scared of him. So anyway, I just done I used to fill in for him now and then, and I see the back to level wings and that. Aircraft recognition, and I was. Well, to tell the truth, I got mentioned in dispatches through it when I was abroad, getting bombarded, and I know you off the brought in charge. What's that, Mister? What's that, Marshal? Blenheim, what do you call it, German, Focke Wulf, and that, And that you just got down in a boot.
Did you have to take some kind of test or exam?
Yes, pick it up. You got aircraft recognition books, and you had to. They always come to watch you in the photograph. Say, well, every aeroplane had a different line, and it was straight edge, swept backed, or something along with the tail was a big one. And he said, and all that was, I've still got the books upstairs.
So you had to do that as well, even though your role was, you were a driver.
Driver, I was the main man. If you put it, what a blunder, I used to drive them to the drive, and dash, get in. I always had to be in for those of darkness. Unless somebody else was took one over. For the wagon. If I had the wagon, House of Darkness, I'd be in. I couldn't get anywhere with the wagon. And then I was on, and there was a little hut, but it was called wood, and it was like a generator, like a platform like this, about 6 foot, and then on here, that's where the switch was, pull the switch down. And then you pull the switch down, and it's where it was on, and you just sat there and just wait. We're connected by a field telephone, and that's it. And
did you have to learn each other's jobs?
Oh, units, 10, 12 in a unit, 12.
That's right, yeah.
Each slight unit, 12 men. It was like. The chairs used to lean back and the binoculars and then spotting and then he used to go left I went on an accent and he sat up like that. He had a chair swivel around left step up and that's it. and we used to guide.
Somebody would be spotting with a.
Oh, aye, you shoot it.
And other people operating the actual
searchlight. Aye, oh, aye. They had a searchlight, a steering wheel, and went round in circle or a turn. And then. What was I going to say? There's a. They took notice here, and I. See, that was my job, number nine. Driver, and I had a generator put it on, and I got a wagon. Cool, you know, but during the day, you used to go and get coal all over for the oats, you know, firewood and gear for it, and on any time you had to be there. See, because. It was on our day like that. We were at Thirsk, Thirsk area in Ribbon.
When was this?
When the war started, first started.
Oh. Because you were in the territorial. I tell you, months or before the
war started, yes, I was in you? 12 months. Got all trained up. Trained up in the drill hall.
And I think you said you were in camp when the actual war started, is that right?
I left my house, I lived at Grinstone then, in the drill hall, to go on a fortnight's camp. And I come back 4 years after. Because in the meantime, 19th of August, the war started. You know.
So what happened? What do you remember about that war being declared?
Well, it was expected. It was all. Well, in fact, to tell you now, I was at church prayer on a Sunday morning when the war started. It was on a Sunday, and we were in church. And when we come out, because Chamberlain said, I'll always remember his words. Since we Hitler had a rule with him, and no such word has reached me, so therefore I would declare war on Germany. And I dreaded words. As small as it went through you didn't realise, you know. He just. And when I was down Ribbon then, station then, because we'll come away on a. Come away on a Sunday morning.
So what did you feel like, just before I move on to that, how did you feel when you heard that war had been declared?
Well, I was young. Arab scarum. You know.
But a little bit of an adventure, perhaps.
Exactly. To think that you were somebody, at least. And then.
What about your pals?
Oh, it was 10 years. 10 or 12 in a unit. Each searchlight.
How did they feel about?
Oh, I saw there were some men cried. But see, we were being youth. Only about 19 or something like that. Youth.
Did you think the war would last long?
We didn't care. And that's honest God. We were at war as far as we were concerned, and we were at everybody's beck and call.
So you were at camp on that Sunday morning when you heard war had been declared.
Aye.
What happened then?
Well, there's panic state. Not panic state, but you wanted to load out. The darkness that you had to be in. See? Because you're only 10 men. There was 4 spotters in the chairs. 2 at that side of the searchlight, 2 at this side of the searchlight, you know. Left, you tell them what to do. And then, and they followed you down a bit, and then that's it, on target. And then we used to get into trouble because the bombers used to come down the beam. And see, we were mostly used for. Beginning of March, the Whitley bombers and the Wellingtons and all like them was at Dishforth. That was where I was, Dishforth. And
So where did you go to from the camp? Where did, can you remember where you went to?
From a little village called Thornborough, outside of Thirsk. It's, on M1, the M1 then was only single. But, and then, that called the village Thornborough, nearest to Ripon. OASQ was in Ripon, you know, and I got on the race course.
Where were you, what were your billets like?
I had my own hut, we slept in, I was at number 9. I slept in that one because I had to get wakened up, you know, to charge a journey winded in particular. And then we got moved to the farmyard side, top end. When you got down ripping like that, on the top, before you got down the bank, there's a turn out there. Well, that was a farm we were on. I was in a farmhouse then. He was a farmer, and we were doing a farm, and then we had a comfortable village then, you see.
What were they like? Can you describe them?
Well, just ordinary rough and ready. There's no finesse, like, and... We just that was it. You took your orders from there, and then you used to go for rations. So I go for the rations when I had a wagon, and then take them to bus. We were in bus on every Thursday. That was a comeback. Actors just ordinary care and welfare and that. Eh? And then I used to go for the group the HQ. Fetch it in.
Can you remember what sorts of things you ate?
Oh, corned beef and we had our own cooks, you know. We used to have the cooks, one cook. I forgot the number. He was number 10, I think. And then he used to make it. And we had a sergeant in charge. And then,
can you remember who your sergeant was?
Sergeant Willis. Mr. and Sergeant Armstrong told him. He'd just come back. He's an Englishman, but he'd been a Canadian all his life. And he'd come back. He was at Pyrex then. It was Mr. Willis. And that's it. I said, see, when the war was going to start, we all joined up. Pyrex had a unit, Baines had a unit, and every club, every firm had a unit, volunteers. See, when we were told that we were Pyrex because we were to get a ration of cigarettes and every week.
From the factories?
Straight from the factory.
Yeah, from Pyrex.
I got a pension in Pyrex. And there's Pyrex, and then when we come on leave, we used to go to in the factory, see them, and that was it.
So what sort of things were you doing when you were down in Thirsk?
Boredom.
What was your daily routine like? Describe the typical daily routine.
Yes, I'd try my best.
What time would you get up?
Well, early.
Reveille.
That depends. So many hours before. So many hours of darkness in the morning. Yet, dawn, while it was still dark, because the big aerodrome, Dismuth, you know, it was a hell of an aerodrome. Well, yeah, there were 4 engines, and Wellington's was 2 engines, and some more. I'm forgetting them all. I've got them all upstairs. Any name, yeah, I've got German and all. Got all German aeroplanes there, named. And you just doing your training and tidy up generally and clean the equipment down and. That was the thing, and you used to go on your Thursday, you used to go to Ripon bus for your bus. And then I moved from there, Ripon, to Staindrop.
How long were you at Ripon for?
Oh, good 6 months till it got organised. Because everything was, you know, on end. And
what was your role whilst you were there? Was it just training? Or?
Just training. Each area, so many miles in between, from Catrick down our and cross our to the coast, there was a research light. In respect of, fields made no difference. They just walk in the farmer's field and just, we're ready, and that's it. And then, I tell you what I was just, you know, when you got through Darlington and then you come to the motorway, we were just on the left hand side there, over where they are then, because it was like a dot every so many miles, they had a drum, it was a searchlight. I was in 386. 49th Regiment, and then 386 was 385, 386, 387, and 388. 388 Regiment was Shields, St. Marble was, I think it was 384 was St. Marble, and all different.
How many searchlights then in each?
One searchlight, but you see, when the recruited, you come from all areas, and that was it, and you just stuck as a unit.
So you stayed together
for a while, yeah. and then we got shifted. Then I volunteered. I was getting a bit bored. When I was excited about it, and I thought I wasn't doing my job properly. You know, when we all do it like
that. So after the initial excitement, I
volunteered to kind of broad. Well, when I volunteered, I went to Barney Castle first, because it was a big training camp, that one. I reported.
Do you remember what it was called?
Still there? Barnet Castle, Deer Bowl Camp, and then we was just an old training. That was when I went there, for the go abroad. First of all,
what unit were you joining there when you went to Barnet Castle?
It was the drivers learning to drive to kind of broad. And I volunteered. What did volunteers for
drivers?
And I volunteered.
So did you leave your
the territorials, the unit? Well, it's one or two come with us, like, you know, we volunteered because we were getting bored.
Which unit did you join?
I joined the 79th Hertfordshire Yeomanry. That's 79th. I joined them at Wales, in Neath.
So when you went to Barnet Castle, can you describe what the camp was like?
It was an ordinary training camp. Huge,
what was
huge.
The accommodation like?
All beds. It was a proper camp, built especially for it. You had a bed, you know, and everything. And the usual red tape, you know, and then. You just went out barts and training and everything.
Was it a hooded camp?
It was a driver's training camp. Driver's training. That's why you went to get. Well, I was a driver before. And then I went there, learned all the ropes there. You know, torn guns.
Can you remember what you were doing? What a typical day was like?
I'd get up in the morning, get your details, what we're going to do, if you were on guard on any time or not, you know. But I'm going to say this, I got the stick. When you get the stick, you know, you were no guard duty. I was at spot, you could tell you better. And you just get a touch on the shoulders, stick man, where you just seen that the guard got the group and relief for the group. You didn't.
So you were one of the smartest.
I'm telling you the truth, and then I had to stick man it nearly every time.
What was discipline like there then?
Oh, there was one particular time. I got fed up. It's queer. I was timid, frightened. And I said, oh, deal with this. I went, yeah. They come for us, put us in
the handcuffs. They put you in handcuffs?
Aye. And I got...
What happened to you?
Well, I got 14 days. You know, you hear all the dirty jobs.
Jankers?
Jankers.
What did you have to do?
Oh. Shit bins, you know. I had to scrub them out. They were the big bins, big pails, you know, and they were just scrubbing them with sand and water. That was your punishment. And then get them all nice and shiny. And then if you had a, while I was on the foot, while I was doing, you had to report every night, every hour, to the guard room. On the hour, and not, I was a many of you know, because I went a minute before my turn, sergeant mate, you know, I was a friend. And you got, get back, it's just too early, come back. And I stand outside just to please him for the 9 o'clock on the morning, on the night time or something. That was his training. I see, you still trained, of course, because it was a confined barracks, actually. You still trained with your.
Was it a large barracks at
the time? Oh, why?
How many men were there, do you think?
Can you remember, do you know the road I'm talking about? Right, when you go over the bridge, so you're going down to the lakes. Right, when you come over the bridge, you bear left, and that was the road. From there, from exactly there, to... Oh, up the bank on that side of the road.
On the right hand side?
Aye.
Where the Young Offenders Institute is now.
Aye, exactly. Mm-hmm. That was it. Young Offenders. And that was a camp. And then. And
so it covered quite a large area?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, it must be, it was two or three parade grounds and everything. That'll tell you how big it was.
What was the living conditions like?
Excellent.
What was your food like?
Excellent. And then.
So what was your typical? You were there for how long?
6 months training.
What sort of training were you doing? What was your typical day like? What training was
required? Get up in the morning and go to. You're doing aircraft recognition and all that. Okay, see, and then you. When you're on guard duties, you know, like so that, and then training.
What kind of training were you doing? General training, like?
And all that kind of training, marching and all like that. Yeah, we used to go to church and watch the church on a Sunday morning, and. It was all strict, first and foremost, before I moved away, I was at Staindrop. That was the last place I was, Staindrop, and then I was at Staindrop when I got bombed. Very few people know about that.
I think you mentioned last time.
I was a big eight. And I've come to Staindrop, and then was a train. Yeah, it was a way. It was shifting a boat.
Is that after Barncastle?
Lord, or sorry, yeah. See, I wonder where to the. I'll try and memorise it. Wonder where to Thornborough. That's a little village side on the M1, on a motorway, side, what was it? Side Ribbon.